You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today, Dr. Herbert Bailey continues with Going Where You Haven't Gone Before.
Hebrews 11, starting at verse 8. Let's read together. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So we've been talking about, I guess this is about week three for y'all on this lesson, week four, I can't remember now, between three, going where you haven't gone before. Going where you haven't gone before. Because for many of us, God's called us to do things we haven't done before, go places we haven't gone before, have the kind of families we haven't seen before, have the kind of marriages that we haven't seen before, raise children better than we were raised, start businesses, start companies, buy properties, buy land, build things. And a lot of us, we haven't done these things before. And so some of us, we're the first generation to break through. That down in me somewhere is this series about first generation breakthroughs. There's something about first generation breakthroughs that you it's a great move of God. And at the same time, you have to realize God did it. And then you got to be humble at the same time. When you're a first generation person, to be the first in your family or sometimes first in your community, etc. But for many of us, God's called us to go places where we haven't gone before. And if you're going to do that, we're going to have to operate at a certain level of faith. As I was preparing and reviewing my notes on this series, I was reminded that several years ago when Dr. Creflo Dollar came here to speak, he prophesied over Pastor Marshall and I. And he said, God has called you to be at a certain level of faith. And I believe that is also a corporate word for this church. In order for us to do what we got to do, God has called us to be at a particular level of faith. I don't care who's doing what. I don't care who thinks that was for a season or who has different emphases or this and that. The just shall live by faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. If I'm going to please God, how many of us want to please God? If we're going to please God, we have to operate in faith. That means when I'm talking about operating in faith, I mean above the natural, above the natural, beyond what these five senses, what we can see, what we can smell, what we can taste, what we can hear, and what we can touch, beyond what makes sense, beyond what people teach you in school, beyond what you just read in some book. I'm talking about operating by faith based upon taking the written word, which is the logos word or the rhema word, what God speaks to your heart, and operating on that and stepping out and doing things and going places that we have not gone before. And so we said we're going to have to get used to doing things in new ways. You can't, if you're going to operate and live by faith and go where you haven't gone before, you're going to have to go beyond routine. You're going to have to go beyond tradition. I taught you all that according to the word of God, there is one thing that is more powerful than the word of God. And what is that? Tradition, because the word of God says that we make the word of God of none effect. Mark 7:13. We make the word of God of none effect through your tradition. So as powerful as the word of God is, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder soul and spirit, the joint and the marrow of the bone, yet our tradition can hinder and stop and block the word of God. For example, I can get up here and say, it's the will of God. Jesus died for you to be rich. And if you've never heard that taught in your tradition, something about you, your mind immediately tilts with that. Something wrong with that. And then I can go, for some people say, well, okay, now once I show you to in the scripture that Jesus became poor, that you might be rich, some of us might embrace it. And then some of us, we still would question it. Why? Because Reverend Flapjack never, I've been in church all my life. I ain't never heard nobody say that Jesus want to die so we can be rich. And you know those riches because riches, that's why the rich young ruler didn't make it into heaven because of riches. And the wicked got riches and money is the root of all evil. All this tradition will come up. and it'll shut down the word of God. So when, if you're going to operate by faith and go to another level, you're going to have to be open to going beyond your tradition. That means new things in new ways. Everybody say new things in new ways. Naaman would have died a leper if he didn't operate by faith. And his faith was demonstrated by him dipping and washing 7 times in a muddy Jordan. In the natural, it did not make any sense. There's no way anybody could have prescribed that. There's no way a doctor could have prescribed that. That you're going to be healed of leprosy by taking your open sores and boils and going down into a dirty, muddy river. That makes no sense. But that's what God said. And once he operated and didn't doing what God said, even though it made no sense in the natural, he became healed. Amen. So what God's calling us to do and where he's calling us to go, many times it's going to call us beyond what we've done and beyond what we've seen and beyond where we've gone. And so we're looking at Abraham as a backdrop to get examples of how you do this. And we see that it's going, first of all, it requires faith. By faith, Abraham. That, how did he do it? By faith, when he was called out, he went out. Verse 9, by faith, he sojourned into a land of promise. By faith, he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So if we're going to go where we haven't gone before, it's going to require faith, we said, first of all. Secondly, we said that if we're going to go where we haven't gone before, then we're going to have to learn to be participators in the supernatural. Did I get to that with y'all? God, say this, say, God wants me to be a participator in the supernatural. And I mean participator as opposed to a spectator. A participator in the supernatural. Look at Genesis 12. Again, we're looking at Abraham as our example here, who's the father of faith. Genesis 12. Now, the Lord has said to Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I'll make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Now, God's part was, I'm going to make you great. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your name great. But then here's some participation on the part of Abraham, and thou shalt be a blessing. And it's going to start with you getting up and getting out of your country from your kindred. So God said, I want to do some supernatural things, but in your situation, I'm not going to do it here. I'm going to go. If you would leave and go where I tell you to go, be directed by me, I'm going to do some supernatural things in your life, because I don't just want you to see the supernatural. I want you to be a participator in the supernatural. To participate in the supernatural is going to require acts of obedience. It's going to require acts of obedience. You can't participate in the supernatural without faith. I'm not talking about seeing. I'm not talking about spectating. I'm not talking about receiving. I'm talking about participating. God wants us to say that. Say it again. Say, God wants me to participate in the supernatural. So Sarah also had to become a participator in this supernatural. They were going to have a child. God promised a child when Abraham is 75. God first speaks to him and says, you're going to have a child. It didn't manifest till he was just about 100. And Sarah is about 90. That's when it happened. But it took both of them, because somebody said it takes two to make a thing all right. It takes two to make it out of sight. It took Abraham and Sarah. Look at your neighbor and say, it takes two, it takes two. I don't know where that came from. I think that was an old Baptist hymn. Hebrews 11:11, it says, through faith, also Sarah. So the promise was given to Abraham and Sarah, and they both needed to become participators for this supernatural thing to happen. So through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive. Abraham had to see to give, which what that was a miracle by itself. You can have bullets, no gun. So we need bullets, we need a gun, and then we need a target. There we go, y'all. And Sarah had to willingly become a target. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength. She was an old woman, naturally. She received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. That means beyond the natural. She was past age. Why? Because she judged him, God faithful, who had promised. The only way you're going to be a participant in the supernatural, you got to judge God faithful. And when it says judge God faithful, it means after going through a series of experiences. See, you don't, faithfulness is proven over time. Don't come tell me you've been a faithful spouse for a year. I've been faithful to my wife for a whole year. I've been faithful to my husband for, no, come on. Faithfulness is proven over time. You got to have some years before anybody, you know, before anybody can give you accolades. People, everybody today. See, I've been married 10 years. People go, how has these 10 years been? What's happened over these 10 years? Faithfulness is proven over time. And so she judged God faithful. You have to get to the point that you go through enough experiences with God. That he brings you through this and he brings you through that and he healed you here and he supplied a need here. You just conclude after going through all the stuff you've been through, God is a faithful God. Amen. Come on now. See, it's one thing for me to tell you he's faithful and we get you to believe based upon what I say. It's another thing for you to have a conviction about his faithfulness because I have experienced his faithfulness. It was David, see, being judged faithful, it reminds me of David. David saying, I once was young, now I'm old, and I've never, all these years, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. So she judged him faithful as a result of all that she went through. And you're going to have to judge God faithful. You're going to have to know that God is faithful. Everybody say, God is faithful. Matthew 10. I want you to see this here. And when he calls his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits. Matthew 10 and 1. When they called unto him, his 12 disciples, he gave them power. Everybody say power. Power. Now, in the Greek, there's two words for power. There's exousia and there's dunamis. Exousia is the right, is the authority. Dunamis is the might, the power. And so we see Officer Clinton over here. Stand up, Officer Clinton. Come on up here. Come on. Okay. Let me show y'all the difference between exousia and power. Exousia and dunamis. This is exousia. That's the right to pull you over. That's the right to say stop. Once you see this. That should be enough. Once you see this, this is the right. Orange County deputy said, now some of y'all going to tell me, I ain't in Orange County. If you don't say Richland, I ain't doing nothing. You still might be in trouble. Okay. But this badge and this gives him the right. Now, this thing right here, this is exousia, this is dunamis. If you ignore exousia, now he got to use some dunamis. This says you're supposed to stop. This says you're going to stop. Thank you so much. Thank you, sir. That's the difference between exousia and dunamis. And Jesus, he gave them both. He gave them power, the right to cast out unclean spirit, and he gave them the power, meaning the ability to do it, to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now I need y'all to look at what the scripture says here. Okay. The Amplified says, and Jesus summoned to him his 12 disciples and gave them power. Who did he give the power to? His disciples. So who had the power? The disciples. Look at this. So Amplified said he gave them power. That is dunamis and authority, exousia, over unclean spirit to drive them out and to cure all kinds of disease and all kinds of weakness and infirmity. So who had the power? Would the disciples have been wrong to tell someone, I got the power to heal you? Some of us, we ain't sure. Are you wrong to go around and tell somebody you got power to heal them? See? Oh, see, right, that made you, that was the till part right there. It's in the Bible, but that's them, but that's not me. And until we realize the same power he gave the apostles, he gave us, we will not be participators in the supernatural. We'll always be spectators of the supernatural. And so when I looked at this, I said, he gave them the power. And when I looked at this also, Jesus did this in the beginning of his ministry. This is important. Reason why it's important, because I always kind of had in mind, I always thought, you know, like, you know, they walked with Jesus, you know, I mean, the people say Jesus was here about 3 years, 3 years, 3.5 years. So somewhere maybe around 2 years and 10 months. He said, listen, I'm about to leave now. I'm not going to be here. So let me go ahead and give you all the power so y'all can do what I do when I'm no longer here. No, when he called them, he gave them the power. Now, they had to learn to operate in the power, but he gave them the power. How many of y'all know you can have a car and not know how to drive it right in this section? How many of y'all know you can have keys and not know how to use them? That's one of the reasons why I stopped carrying around keys. I hope everybody's stay loyal to me, because if I ever have a rebellion, I ain't going to be able to get my own church. I don't know one key from the other. And so I depend on folks to get me in my office and open up doors. But it got to the point, I didn't know one key from the other. I'm just, you know, fiddling. So you can have the keys and own the keys and not know how to use the keys. We have power, and we have to become proficient in operating in the power. So I want you to see that Jesus gave them the power so they can be participators in the supernatural. Not just spectators of the supernatural, but participators in the supernatural. Look at John 14 and 12. Jesus says, now verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, goes back to this faith thing again, as I've heard some people call the faith thing. This faith thing. This faith thing is a basic principle of life. You can't please God without this faith thing. Don't minimize it. Don't look at it as some optional curriculum. Don't look at faith as an elective that you can choose to major in or not major in it. You can choose to take this course or not take this course, because you see, I don't do faith, I do music. I don't do faith, I do business. Oh, no, no, no. You can't do anything in the kingdom without faith. It is a basic core class. It has to be in your operating system. I don't care what you're doing. Whatever we do, we got to do it by faith, or we're not going to be able to do anything above the natural. So Matthew 10 and 1 tells us Jesus summoned them and he gave them the power. John 14, 12, he tells them, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, that's us who are believers, the works that I do shall he do. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Now, I've heard preachers preach about this, and they always try to soften this. Always try to soften this. Like Jesus didn't really mean that we really going to do greater works. So we try to soften it that, well, maybe we can. How are we going to do? But if Jesus said we can do greater works than these, we can do greater works than these. We were at my friend Pastor Poe's homegoing, and Pastor Dollar was ministering or doing the eulogy. And he reminded us of something I'll never forget, because Greg Poe was just bold. He would just make bold faith statement. He just say stuff. He didn't care what nobody thought. And he said, the Lord told me that I'm to be a better preacher, that I'm supposed to be I'm to be a greater preacher than Paul. And I heard that, and I said, Lord, how are you going to be a greater preacher than Paul? And I got to thinking about this as they started talking about him and his wife and his family and all he's done. I said, well, Paul could just focus just on ministry. For a preacher to do ministry, a wife and children, you are greater preacher than Paul. Paul said, if you're just going to focus on the things of God, he said, then don't get married. If all you don't want to please the Lord. Mm-hmm. All you deep folk, I just please the Lord. No, you better please your husband, and you're going to have to please your wife. Otherwise, that's all you're going to have is the Lord to please. If you please. So you got to balance that. Jesus said, I'm going away and I'm giving you my power, my ability to do what I do, do what I did, and even greater. We have greater challenges today that Jesus never faced. We have greater economic responsibilities today than Jesus ever faced in his day. It takes more money to do things today than it ever did in Jesus' day. And greater, because I go to my Father. The Amplified, that verse says, John 14:12, I assure you most solemnly, I tell you, if anyone, look at this, steadfastly believes. I want you to see that. Steadfastly, everybody say steadfastly believes. That's talking about consistently, without gaps in your faith. Without short circuits in your faith. Brother Kenneth Hagin used to say this, keep the switch of faith turned on. Sometimes we turn it off and then we try to turn it on. No, faith is the operating system. You don't cut this off. It always has to be operating. So I like to amplify it. If anyone can steadfastly, consistently believes in me, he will himself, making it plain, he will himself be able to do the things that I do. God wants us to do, Jesus wants us to do the things that he did. If you consist, if you keep on believing, if there's no gaps in your faith, if you don't short circuit your faith with doubt, remember I did a series about uprooting unbelief. Unbelief is the thoughts, the ideas, the things that people say that short circuit our faith and cause us to tilt in our faith, cause us to not be consistent in our faith. I was listening to something today. I woke up early this morning watching Mike Murdoch talk about this third voice. He said what messes people up is the third voice. I heard teach about the first voice. The first voice is usually always going to be the voice of God. We even say it, especially Southerners say it, I should have followed my first mind. That first thought that comes is usually a supernatural thought. Okay, John 6, you don't have to turn it. But in John 6, Jesus said, well, where is there, how are we going to feed all these folks? And somebody said, well, Lord, there's a little boy here. He got some 5 loaves and a couple of fish. That's the first thought, supernatural thought. But then that second thought came. He said, but what are they among so many? And the second thought that shut down the first thought, the second thought was the thought of doubt. The first thought was the thought of belief. There's a boy here. Maybe God can do something with this. And that's exactly what Jesus did. And Jesus did not get the idea from him. He tapped into the mind of Christ. Now that third voice is the voice of that breaks up relationships. The third voice, is you talking to God, God talking to you. And now the third voice comes in. God had a conversation. He and Adam and Eve, they were talking. God and man. And then the third voice came in there. The voice of Satan. Watch out for the third voice. The third voice is those people say, child, if I was you, I wouldn't do such and such. People's marriage can be going fine until they get a third voice in there. We call it a third party. That causes us to not steadfastly believe. He himself be able to do, and he will do even greater things. So your faith is supposed to take you through anything. Jesus, look at Matthew 17. The boy has epilepsy. The boy has been tormented by a demon. The disciples say, I brought him to your disciples and they could not cure him. Is that true? Is that true? It's truly stated, but is that true that they could not? How do we know that's not true? Because he gave them power. So it wasn't that they could not, they did not. They did not consistently believe. They faced a circumstance that looked beyond the natural and said, this is too much. And Jesus answered, and O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer with you? Bring the boy here. Keep going. And Jesus rebuked the devil and he departed out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Lord, now why could not we cast him out? Verse 20. And Jesus said, because of what you're... Not because you didn't have the power.
God wants to take you places where you've never gone before. but it's going to take faith. You have to maintain your faith at all times and in all situations along the way. Dr. Herbert Bailey explains that on the way to your destination, you may have to face some temporary places and circumstances. But get ready, because God has already cleared the path for your journey. Order today for your love gift of $25 or more and get the bonus message, "Are You Down for the Journey?" by Pastor Chandler Bailey. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to writedirection.info. Ask for Going Where You Haven't Gone Before. If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereports@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.